So Ram, you want to take a page, you can take it from there.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a gift. You can take it home.
Oh, good.
And that what we can try to do today is to combine Parshas Ki Tisa, which is this week's parasha.
Ah, yes.
And especially the mitzvah of the Ketores. You know, there was a special Mizbeach, which is called the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and that's where they burnt the Ketores.
Oh.
And see if we can combine that with Purim somehow.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Before I'm going to bring it in, I'm going to run out.
Yeah, whenever you have to go, you go.
Okay,
then so take one of these little handouts if you can. And we'll open up to page 210, all the way on the bottom in the blue chumashim. And here we have the mitzvah of the Ketores. Okay then, so let's see what it says here in Pasuk Lamed Dalid. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe kach lecha samim, and now he has a whole list of spices. We're going to try to count up the exact number of spices as we go along, but first let's read the Pasuk. Notaf Ushcheles. What else does he have here? Chelbina, Samim, he's got Levona, Zaka, and he's got Bad Yihir. Now, Rashi quotes a Gemara in Masechta Krisus, and that sugya of Ketores is quite familiar to us. Some people have the minhag of actually reading the list of spices that make up the Ketores on a daily basis. I don't know if you've ever seen the minhag. Some people actually have it written on a parchment, and they have it like rolled up. And in some shuls, they have the parchment up on a plaque. And Rashi is going to actually give us the entire list of the 11 samimonim, the 11 types of spices. The Gemara says, Om Rav Yochanan, Yud Aleph samimonim nemru lo lemoshe besinai, even though the Pasuk, as we'll soon see, only has 5 samimonim. So why do we double plus the number? And the answer is, that's called halacha lemoshe misinai. Om Rav Huna, Mikra, but what do we find in the Torah Shebichsav? What's explicit in the Torah? It says Kach Lecha Samim. So we're talking about the plural Trey. Okay, and then he has the list that's here in the Pasuk. He has Nataf and Shchelet and Chelbina. So this undefined, unspecified samim, which is sort of like a general term, is written in plural to indicate 2 samim. Rashi is going to tell you what they are. And then we have in the pasuk, notav shkelis and chelbina, so that adds up to 5. Hachamisha. Then the next word in the pasuk, after that 3, after the chelbina, is samim. Again it says the word samim. So it says the word samim twice. The first samim is to tell you that in addition to Natav, Ushchelus, and Chelbina, which are 3, there's another 2. Now we have a totality, we take a deep breath of 5. And then it says samim means to double it. And 5 times 2 is 10. So we're up to the number 10. Ha'asara. Now at the end of the pasuk it says Levona Zaka, and that's going to be number 11. So all told we have 11. So let's see if we read this in Rashi, Dira Maschil Ulevona Zaka. Now, I have in front of me an English translation. Truth be told, that many of the words that make up these 11 spices are simply transliterated. There's no translation whatsoever. They just rewrite the Chumash. And when they do offer us a translation, at least I, for one, don't understand the translation. So, Mimanav Shach, I'm in trouble. But in any event, he has the following. He says, Mikan lamdu rabosenu achadasar samimonim nemru lo lemoshe misinai. So from this pasuk, That's number three on your page, on your handout. So we have three. We have a tradition that's taught to us by our Rabboseinu, our rabbis. And the tradition has it that at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu received how many?
11.
And he goes through the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan that we saw before. Miut Samim. Since the word Samim is in plural, it means Shnayim. It's got to be two. So we have two spices. Okay. Then we have Natafu Shchelis V'Chalbana Shlosh. We have another three. Okay, so here are the translations, if you're interested. It's not relevant to our Shia today, but I'll just mention them. There's something called a Galbanum. Okay, that sounds very similar to the word Chalbana, Galbanum. Then he has something called a Stakti, and I guess that's called a Nataf. Then he has something called Shchelit, which he calls an Anyaka. Okay, again, it's not going to help me. Maybe it helps you, but Harei Chamisha. So we're up to five. Then Rashi says, Samim L'Rabos Od, Kamoela, another series of spices equal to the number of the first series of spices. So we double it, and we get to Asor Levona. Now we have Levona. He tells you what Levona is in English. And does everybody know what the English word is?
Frankincense.
Yeah, frankincense, yeah. Okay. And not Frankenstein, frankincense. Levona Reachadasa. So Levona is number 11 on the list. Eluhe. Now he gives you the whole list. Okay, Rashi spells it out. You see the whole list in Rashi? First he starts with eight, and then he goes on. So the first eight are, again, he has, I'm not even going to read the English because it's for me it's Chinese, but you know anyone who's interested can go through this. And that equals Shmona. Then he says, Shibolet v'nerd echad. The word Shibolet, which he translates here as a spike, and the word ner is one in the same term. So it's referring to one spice. So a ner, and why is ner called a Shibolet? Because it looks like a Shibolet. Then we have Kosht, Kilufa, and Kinamon. Okay, so we have another three. And if we invite 9 plus 3, no, I'm sorry. We had eight before, correct? So we're adding to those eight another three. So 3 plus 8, 8 plus 3 is 11, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then he has this something that the Chazal referred to as karshina, or borit karshina. Borit means a soap. And eino nikta, but that's not burnt on the mizbeach. That's only shofin bo es hatziporin. You take the tziporin, which we said was an anchia, and we whiten it so it has a pleasing odor to it, and that we do with something called karshina. That's soap. Lilabna kedeshite no, it should be pleasing.
Tziporin is in modern Hebrew clothes.
Here he has it as anchia. I'm not pronouncing it right, but I'll spell it for you. O N Y C H A. So here, Doc, I'm going to ask you to go through this, and you'll be my expert on this because I'm totally lost. Okay.
Now, so what do we? Karkom mentioned there. We say
take
we,
a look.
We say karkom in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, take a look.
Karkom today is the modern Hebrew name for
turmeric.
The turmeric. Yeah.
All right. So I guess the words, the meaning of the words change, you know, with time. That's why it becomes very, very confusing. Okay, now we want to take a look at an Agadita in Masechta Brachos on Dafna Nunhe. And the Agadita is analyzing a Pasuk in Yechezkel. I'll just mention where the Pasuk in Yechezkel is to be found. It's in Perek Lamed Mem Aleph, that 41, and it's Pasuk Chaf Beis. And what the Gemara notices is that this verse is kind of choppy in a sense. It has a motif or a theme at the beginning of the Pasuk, and then it shifts to a different theme at the end of the Pasuk. So at the beginning of the Pasuk, the theme is the Mizbeach. And this Pasuk in Yechezkel foretells the third Beis HaMikdash and what the Mizbeach is going to look like. And he says it's Shalosh Amos Gova. Fine. So after giving the measurements of the Mizbeach, the Pasuk goes on and adds the following statement in the same verse. It says, Vayidaber Eli Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. So what's the subject of the vision of Yechezkel in the Sefer, this Pasuk? The Shulchan. Pasach, the Gemara asks, Pasach b'mizbeach, the Siyem b'shulchan. There must be some deeper meaning in the fact that Yechezkel went out of his way in his nevuah to describe both the Mizbeach and the Shulchan in one fell swoop, in one breath. What's the connection here between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? It's Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar Mitravayu calls Mancha Beis HaMikdash Kaya Mizbeach Mechaper al Yisrael the Achshav, but now Shulchano Shal Adam Mechaper Olav. We now, during the period of time in which we don't have the Mizbeach, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we need some sort of utensil, if you will, that will bring us Kapara and will substitute and replace the Mizbeach. So what's going to replace the Mizbeach? You got it, the Shulchan. Don't all answer at once. Okay. So we have now today the Shulchan. And he goes out of his way to say, Shulchano shel Adam. You know, we don't have the Shulchan in the Mikdash, where they put the Lechem HaPadim, but what we do have is our own personal Shulchan. And our table becomes a place, if you will, or a medium for Kapara. I don't know if you know this, Rabosa, but back in Europe, not long ago, my in-laws still remember this minute. They used to bury a person and put some of his table into the burial, like a piece of his table. So when he goes up to Shamayim, he will say, this was the table on which I did, well, that's what we want to figure out what he did, and that we'll get to in a minute. But first I want to take a look at the Vilna Gaon. Now the Vilna Gaon is quoted twice, once in a book called Kol Elio, and another time in a book called Divrei Elio. This is the Gaon Elijah from Vilna. And he adds another remez over here. You know, the Torah can be understood on so many different levels. So after quoting this Gemara in Brachas that we saw, he says the following. If you count the number of simonim that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, you'll only find four. And those are Shcheles, Levona, Chelbona, Nataf. Again, he switches around the order. Why does he switch around the order? He just wants to point out that if you present those four samamonim in the following sequence, and you look at the first letter of each one of those four samamonim, it forms the word, you guessed it, Shulchan, right? Shacheles, you see that? Okay, you have Shcheles, and then you have Levona, that's Shin Lamed, and then Chelbina is Ches, and then Nataf is Nun. So you have Shin Lamed Ches Nun is Shulchan. And this is a remez, he says, Al Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper. Now, Rabosai, if we're saying that the Samamonim and the Mizbeach upon which the Samamonim were Muktarim, they were burnt, is in a sense going to be replaced by our Shulchan, which is Mechaper, then what's the assumption about the Mizbeach itself? Well, the Ketoris itself that's brought on the Mizbeach, it's also what? A Mechaper. Everybody with me on that? In other words, what we're saying is that X existed at the time of Mikdash, and it achieved the following. Right now, Y is in our time, after the Mikdash is destroyed, the replacement of X, and it achieves the same objective. What is that objective? Kapara. So again, the assumption here, Rabosai, is clearly that the Ketores, which is brought on the Mizbeach, what's called the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you know, that's the golden Mizbeach that was inside, that was right near the Shulchan, that Mizbeach brings Kapara. Now, if you would have told me that the outer Mizbeach brings Kapara, then I would have no problem with, because what did they bring on the outer Mizbeach?
Katos,
right, the Karbanos. So the Karbanos are Mechaper. That's by definition the essence of a Karma. But now we're adding another Chiddush here that we might not have paid attention to, and we could have missed it, and that is that even the Mizbeach HaPnimi upon which the Ketores is brought, that also has the purpose of being Mechaper. And we'll have to see exactly what Kapar is achieved by the Yud Aleph Samamonim, and how our Shulchan today could replace the Mizbeach of the Ketores back then. Now, the Gaon is quoted, as I told you before, in a Sefer called the Divrei Elio, also on the Agadah of Masechta Brachos, but here he adds a little extra point over here. He says, Yesh Lomar, again, we're on the top left here at number 6, he says, After he writes that Kol Zman, this was the Gemara that we saw, V'yachshav Shulchan Shel Adam Mechaper Olav, he writes Al Pi Remez. He says we only have four samimonim from the 11 that are explicit in the Torah, and he organizes them in a way that it says Shulchan L'Rameis Al Shulchan Shel Adam Shemachaper. So basically, everybody who quotes the Gaon, you know, the Gaon didn't write a commentary on the Chumash, but it was tradition and it was passed on in the transmission from one generation to the other. It seems that this was a very, you know, very important tradition, and everyone quoted the Gaon on this insight because they thought it was very important to find in the Torah Shebichsav a remez for the Torah Shebalpeh. So the Torah Shebichsav tells you about the Mizbeach and about the Samamonim that made up the Ketores, and now Chazal are telling you in Torah Shebalpeh that Mizbeach is being replaced today by the Shulchan, and that they derive from the Pasuk in Yechezkel, the continuity between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach in one Pasuk. But where in the Parsha of the Mizbeach itself do we find some sort of a remez that would connect the Yud Aleph Samamonim with the Shulchan, such that our Shulchan is now going to be a replacement for the original Mizbeach on which the Ketores was brought? And that's what the Gaon wants to achieve from us by organizing the four Samamonim mentioned explicitly in the Torah Shebichsav in such a way that the Rashi Tevis of those four Samamonim make up the word Shulchan. Now, what we're going to do from now on is we're going to take a look. This is an anthology put together by Rabbi Daniel Glatzstein. I think I've mentioned him on many occasions. And he quotes a lot of different sources. This, for me, is like a study unit. I have no idea what the Shia was all about, but we're going to learn it almost as a study unit. And a lot of these Svarim are totally foreign to me. And I tried to do some research to figure out who authored these Svarim. So, God willing, I owe you that as a debt, you know, to try to figure out when and who wrote these Svarim. So on occasion, I'll tell you who wrote the Sefer if I know. If I don't mention it, don't even bother asking me, because at this point, I don't know. So for example, in number 7, he has a Hasidish Sefer that comes from Zizhikov. And in Zizhikov, there was a great Hasidic Rebbe who said the following. Taskil v'teda, you should know. Dargin datzlochas Knesset Yisrael. When the Pasuk in Tanakh describes the people of Israel. Now, if you wanted to get a beautiful description of Knesset Yisrael, which book of Tanakh would be most appropriate? Because that book is almost totally dedicated to a description of the beauty of Knesset Yisrael. I can't hear so many voices at once. Shir HaShirim, right? So what does it say? Yeah, what does it say in Shir HaShirim, which is a love story, kaviyachol, a metaphoric love story between Klal Yisrael and Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dod and the Raya? It describes Klal Yisrael in the following way: Mizos anishkafa kmo shachar yafakel vana barakechama ayuma kinigdalot. And he says that there are four words here that describe the beauty of Klal Yisrael. And if you take a look at these four words that are used to describe the beauty of Klal Yisrael, you'll find that in sequence, now it's in sequence, see, this is one up on the Gaon, it forms the word Shulchan. So you take the first letter of these four descriptions, and if you put those four letters together, you get the word Shulchan. Right, because you have Shachar, you have the Shin, Levana is the Lamed, Chama is the Chet, and Kenigdalot, which are beautiful towers, that is Nun. So if you put them all together, what do you get? Shulchan. So again, how does Klal Yisrael reach this very high level, which is described in such beautiful poetic terms by the Meshorer and Shir HaShirim? They can only achieve that level through what? Through the Shulchan. So I've also, what we're saying here is something fascinating, that not only is the Shulchan today a mechaper and a replacement for the Mizbeach, but in addition it defines the very essence of the Jew. And we're going to see if we can connect that to Purim as we go along. So first I want to mention to you the Ramah, who lived 5 centuries ago, Rav Moshe Isserles, and he makes a comment that a person should put on his table melach, Do you have that minhag, Rabbi Bosai, to try to put salt on the table? If you do have that minhag, you got it here from the Ramah, who in turn got it from the Beit Yosef, who got it from the Shibol HaLeket, so it's going back 1,000 years. And the reason for putting salt on the table is what? It's because the table is Mizbech, and I'll call Karbonecha Takriv Melach. Now, Rabbi Bosai, which Mizbech are we talking about? Correct. So we now have a shift, Rabbi Bosai. There's a paradigmic shift over here. When we're talking about our Shulchan replacing the Mizbech of the Beis HaMikdash, now we're replacing the other Shulchan. And what the other Mizbech. So what I want to prove to you as we go along is that many of the commentaries will see that the greatness of our Shulchan is that it can replace both the Mizbach HaZov on which the Ketores was brought and the Mizbach HaOla on which the Korbanos are brought. And it really serves a double function insofar as it's replacing both Shulchanos. So this will force us to ask the question, what's unique about each Shulchan? And number two, what's unique about each Mizbach? And what's the purpose, the objective of each Mizbech? And how does our Shulchan, as a replacement for these two Mizbechos, achieve those same two goals? So that's just to put the shir into a framework for today. Another one of the commentaries on Chumash, very interesting, he lived about 2 centuries ago, I don't remember his name, the Panim Yafos, but very analytic. He quotes the Gemara that we started with in Brachos, and then he quotes a Gemara in Tainus. Now it's interesting. You and I think, or I should speak for myself, that a person who sits in fasting, how do you pronounce it? Fasting?
Fasting.
This person is a great holy person. But that's not what Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us that there's a downside in fasting. And not just because it makes you weak, but also called Yoshev Betanis Nikra Chote. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Kiddushah, he wants sanctity. And sitting in fast is not the way you achieve that sanctity. And he says the following, that there's an absolute mirror image, almost a parallel between two types of eating. In other words, achila is a very important concept, both in halacha and in Jewish thought. But achila really can be subdivided into two distinctly different categories. One is achila gashmit, physical eating, and then there's something called achila ruchanit, which means that you can actually eat something on a spiritual level. And the paradigm of that is the malach asharis. As the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yoma, what is the food for the malachim? That's called man. What is man? Man is lechem adirim shamalachim ochlem oso. So man makes up a representative, or represents, I would say, a spiritual eating. We call it angel food. And that really gives sustenance to the soul, not to the physical body. And it's very interesting that the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, when it describes the greatness of Klal Yisrael in terms of us receiving a legacy from our great forefather Avraham Avinu, it says, Ochlim b'olam hazem and ochlim b'olam haba. In other words, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi describes us as receiving Ochel, which is the Nachlas Yaakov Avicha, which goes back to our forefathers. What did we receive from our forefathers? Not just the ability to eat physical food, I didn't need my great legacy from the Avos for that, but for us to be Talmidim and receive a legacy from our Avos, it means we're capable of a different kind of an Achila. And we're capable of, through that achila, receiving a nachla, a portion, but not a portion in this world, but rather a portion in the next world. So look at the power inherent in achila, which this guy is giving up for the sake of a fast. The achila has the ability to be a conduit to bring a person to be nochel, to inherit a portion in Olam Abba, and that's called Nachlas Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is called a nachla b'li mitzarim. It's absolutely infinite. And we can achieve an infinity, a place in the eternal world to come through achila. If we can elevate our physical achila to an angelic type of achila, to an achila ruchanit. And therefore the Gemara says in Erevin that we have to bring a separate kapara, because the makatre, the prosecutor is saying, hey, you know what, you took an animal and you brought it as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Who allows you to do so? You did a sin, and now you're going to take the animal and burn it on the Mizbeach? Why is the Behema guilty? So what we have to do through the carbon is somehow we have to counter this prosecution against Klal Yisrael. And we have to somehow justify the fact that we took this animal and brought it on the Mizbeach for our purposes to achieve Kapara. And the answer is that the tikkun to this behema, God created this animal for the benefit of man, but the greatest level of tikkun is to eat the animal. So it's not the fact that I brought the karmon, it's the fact that I eat the flesh, the meat of the karmon. And I do, in a metaphysical sense, some sort of tikkun, and the animal now serves a tremendous purpose for spirituality, and that's the tikkun, and that's what allows us to take these animals and shech them on the Mizbeach. So next time you meet somebody who probably comes from Scandinavia or one of those countries, and he says to you, oh, your Bible says that you're allowed to take animals and slaughter them and then bring them on the Mizbeach, and so you'll give him the following answer. I don't mean that you'll give him the answer. He won't accept the answer anyway. But Dam Alahosh, if you have to know what you should answer to yourself. And what you should answer to yourself is that within the ontological creation, the program of God, of the divine being, animals are meant to serve a purpose. Now, if I sin, it doesn't make sense that I should use the animal for my purpose, but if as a result of the karmon I can elevate this animal so that the animal's flesh achieves even a greater goal, that's called a tikkun. And then the mekatre can no longer prosecute against us. But now I mostly want to get to Purim. What is the sin of Purim? Why is it that Klal Yisrael was subject to this terrible decree of Haman? So the Gemara offers two approaches. One approach has to do with the Tselem at the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, but the second approach is that of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And please note Rav Shimon here in number 10 and also Rav Shimon in number 16, because we're going to try to combine the two Rav Shimons. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that we were guilty of Nenu Misudaso Shel Oso Rasha. So the Beit Shmuel and many others ask the question, why does it say Nenu? We had enjoyment and derived pleasure from the Suda of Achashverosh. It should have said Achlu Misudaso. Could you imagine, Rabosai, if you were living in some country and the king invites you to eat at a banquet and he serves the best meat and the best wines.
Kosher.
You would want to eat there, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Rabbi Davids would never even think of that because it's not kosher. But the answer is that there was nothing wrong, ostensibly, with eating at the Seuda of Achashverosh. Why? Yeah, how do you know it was kosher? What's the source for that? Anybody know the pasuk in Megillas Esther? It says there, Lasos Kiritzon Ish Ve'ish. So again, there's a complicated drasha about Haman, but one of the two ishes here is Mordechai, because it says Ish Yudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. So the word Lasos Kirtzon Ish means that they ordered batats, kosher meats. You know, Satmar Shchita. Anybody could eat from the Suda. But the problem was Nenu Mi'a Suda. So if you take a look at this word Nenu in the pre-tzadik of Rav Tzadik HaKohen, in his commentary on Purim, number 13, he says that the real pagam, in other words, their kilkel, what they messed up on, is nenu misudas. The achila per se was okay, but the nenu. And what does it mean, nenu? He says, hainu, v'rabbanu v'talmidi chachom ayukulam besuda zu, hechinu lahem macholam tsherim. As the talmidi chachom showed up at this suda because everything was kosher, it had a badatz hechsher, and They were claiming, you know, there's no problem here eating here, and also the melech, the king himself invited us. You know, we would be insulting the king if we didn't show up. But apparently, despite the kosher, the kashrus of the food, and despite the fact that they were summoned by the king and invited personally to join in the suda, they shouldn't have enjoyed that suuda. You may recall that Achashverosh came out in very special begadim at that suda. All right, we'll get back to that some other time. But right now, I'd like to study with you another parsha, which we read, I think, a week and a half ago. Meaning, if we're reading Kitisa this week, then turn the clock back two weeks ago.
So can I ask, why shouldn't they have enjoyed it?
Oh, so That has to do with a different shiur that I gave, which I'm not going to go over now, but it has to do with the fact that Ahasuerus was really celebrating the fact that the Beis HaMikdash would no longer be rebuilt. Yes. And he came out with certain special begotten that was stolen from the Kohen Gadol. But there's more to it than that. I mean, I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg. So he says the following, in Parshas Truma, we have a contiguity between two kelim in the Mishkan. We have the Shulchan and we have the Mizbeach. And the answer to this smichus is the fact that Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim Mizbeach Mechaper. The Mizbeach was Mechaper. Now it's Shulchan Shel Adam Mechaper. Now that Mizbeach that we're talking about is the Mizbeach HaOla. That would support the Ramaz addition here, that there's also a connection between the second Mizbeach that was outside the Kodesh, that also is a Mechaper, which we're going to replace today with our Shulchan. In the Beis HaMikdash there were two Mizbechos. There was one, the Pnimi for the Ketores, there was one, the Chitzoni for the Karbonos, otherwise known as the Mizbech HaOla. And what korbanos were brought, the olos, the tmid, and the musafim, is horol on Rabbeinu HaRashash. Rashash lived about 150 years ago. And he taught us, shekol adam ye nizhar lilmod al shulchano betocha seuda parshas haktoros. This I never saw before, Rav Osai. That according to Rashash, we should be studying at the table, in the seuda, the parsha of the Ketores, but that only corresponds to which Mizbeach?
The Pnimi.
The Pnimi. Now we need another perek in order to correspond to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and that's going to be perek Ezu Makomon Shel Zvachim. So we integrated this into the fabric of our Shachar's davening, but back in the time of the Rosh Hashanah, apparently, he had a minig to integrate it into the Suda itself. And the reason for that is to link up this, what we call a Mitzarev, to co-join the Shulchan and the Seudah together with the two Mizbechos. The Gemara Masechta Yoma tells us that on the pasuk that describes in Parashas Akimos, that describes the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, it says, V'chiper ba'do u'biad beso u'biad kol kahal Yisrael. And the question is, this kapara seems to be common to everyone. And the Gemara asks, in the name of Rava, what was the Mechaper that was common to everyone of Klal Yisrael? That was the Ketores. So again, we're coming back to square one again, that the Ketores is a Mechaper. Okay, we're going to have to figure out what it's Mechaper on, and this is why we're learning the Gemara in Yoma. So the Gemara says, Detani Rabbi Chanina, Lamanu L'Ketores Mechaperes. We have a pasuk in Chumash that tells us that the Ketores has the power of kapara. For what sins? Shenemar, it says, Vayitein es haketores vayechaper al ha'am. If I'm not mistaken, this pasuk is in Bamidbar. V'tonet the Beir Rabbi Shmuel al mak Ketores mechaperes al loshen hara. Yovo dovishe b'chashoy v'yechaper al maiseh b'chashoy. In other words, the Ketores was lefnai v'lefnim, you know, it was something that was in the private, it was not visible to the naked eye. And so too, Lashon Hara is something that you whisper sometimes. Again, if you say it publicly, maybe it's not Lashon Hara, I don't know, you have to know the dinim, I'm not paskening. So we have now so Rav Osai, if our Shulchan is going to replace the Mizbeach HaKetores and achieve Kapara in place of the Mizbeach HaKetores, what's the worst thing you want to do on it? Exactly. You begin to appreciate why the Mishnah Berurah in his famous Chofetz Chaim work is going to tell you, be very careful at the Shulchan not to speak Lashon Hara. And I can tell you, that's a tough one, because what do we do with the Shulchan? You know what I mean? Some people eat at the Shulchan, some people just talk Lashon Hara. I don't know which is the Iker. But on a serious vein here, Rav Osai, without joking, we're seeing here that that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And now we're looking to replace the Beis HaMikdash. And what was central in the Kapara of the Beis HaMikdash was the Mizbeach HaKetores. What do we have instead? Our Shulchan. And the Mizbeach HaKetores was designated to be Mechaper on the Lashon Hara. Now we're going to go ahead and speak Lashon Hara at the Shulchan. We're going to mess up really bad. But now Rav Shimon Bar Yochai indicates that there's another element in this equation, or shall we say, in elevating the Shulchan to the level of a replacement for the Beis HaMikdash. And that's Divrei Torah. And he becomes very harsh on someone, or in this case, three people who sat together and they did not share on the Shulchan Divrei Torah. He calls it Zivchei Mesim. I'm afraid to even say those words. And he goes on to say that if, on the other hand, Baruch Hashem, these three people are sharing Divrei Torah, it's Ke'ilu Achlu Mishulchano Shel Makom, and he quotes the same pasuk in Yechezkel that established that the Shulchan today replaces the Mizbeach. Vaydabre Elai Zeh Shulchan Shel Lifnei Hashem. So how do we convert, how do we transform that Shulchan and upgrade it to Lifnei Hashem, to make it into the substitute for the Mizbeach that was Lifnei Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, through Divrei Torah? And I'm quite disappointed at this point. This is a letdown for me, because the Bartanura says that I could satisfy Reb Shimon by benching, because in benching we have various psukim. Yeah.
Why are you let down, Rob? Now you can schmooze more.
Right.
More time.
But okay, David. I thought I was the cynic here. I see. I'm a very serious guy. You know. But seriously, you know what we have here is a cheapo kind of way of getting out of it. You know, forget about Divrei Torah. Just bench. You know. So the Tosis Yontif is on my team. He doesn't like this Bar Tanur at all. He says, after all, who's Reb Shimon talking to? He's warning you that if Chas V'Shalom you don't fulfill his dictum of Divrei Torah, it's become Kavah Zimchei Mesim. He's talking to someone who wouldn't bench at his own table? He's not, he's choshed. He uses the term, he says, Lav B'Rishoyim Kamayri. Reb Shimon is not addressing Rishoyim. Reb Shimon is trying to upgrade you to a higher level of Zah Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. And he's telling you, well, you know what, if you're going to think and entertain the idea of omitting the mitzvah d'orais of Birkas HaMazon, no, you have to bench. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so let's leave out the Bar Tanura now. Anybody wants to defend the Bar Tanura, you can do that after the Shiur. But I want to make sense out of Reb Shimon's statement in the Mishnah and others. What then does he want over here? Why and how did the Divrei Torah impact on the Shulchan? So for example, we can start with the most famous, this is probably the most famous paragraph in the entire Shulchan Aruch, from beginning to end, in all four Chalokim, is our Chaim Simen Reish Lamed Aleph, Sif Aleph, and basically I'm going to summarize it, you all know this, he quotes the pasuk, B'chol Shochecha To'eyu, find God in every way, in everything that you do, every action that you do should be L'Shem Shamayim. I remember Rav Hutna in his book on philosophy, his Pachad Yitzchak, he has a whole section here on this dictum of Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim. But basically, the Shulchan Aruch says that your Achila and your Shsiya and your Alicha and your Yeshiva and Kima and everything, Tashmish Amita and Sicha and Sarkei Gufcha, everything should be for the sake of Avodas Hashem. I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat because if I don't eat, I won't be able to serve Hashem. And that's the highest level, says the Shulchan Aruch, of B'chol Drachei HaDayu. And we're talking about elevating the Shulchan to a higher level and making it Lifnei Hashem. Then what we want to do is shift our focus from the physical eating and think about the spirituality. And he says, therefore, in order to reach this special level of Zeh Shulchan Lifnei Hashem, we need the study of Torah. And we have to realize, by studying the Torah, that we have a higher purpose in our eating. That we're not just interested in eating for the sake of the goof. If we eat just for the sake of feeding the body, and that's it, without any admixture of chefet shamayim, then it becomes sitra achra, whatever that means, some sort of evil, and it becomes whatever Reb Shimon called it. Right. Like, so how do we, what do you say?
It's like an animal.
It takes out the animalistic part in us.
Yeah.
And not only that, it could be that the Divrei Torah really are functioning here as shira, as song. What do I mean by song? You know, praise to God. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, what did the Levim, what was their job? They would sing the shira, correct? And now that our Shulchan is replacing the Levim and the whole Beis HaMikdash, it's got to be also the shira. And Divrei Torah considered shira. How do you like that, Rabbosai? That's an amazing comment. that when you speak words of Torah, that's called Shira, that's called praise to God. That's called a song in front of Hashem. But if on the other hand, there's no Divrei Torah at the Shulchan, and all you're interested in just fressing and physical achila and shesia, that's going to be Gora the Yetzar that pumps up the Yetzar, gives him more power. And then Chas V'Shalom, you might come to Chet. And in order to be machnia, in order to overcome the Yetzahara that somehow gets more power from your achil and shesia, you have to direct and channel and upgrade your achil and shesia to a level of lifnei Hashem, to make it into lechem abirim, like man, to sustain the spiritual element and the divine element in man. The Mishnah Berurah goes even further. He writes that in order to fulfill the dictum of Rabbi Shimon, he says, in the name of the Shalom, we should learn a Mishnah, a Halacha, we should learn a Gadita, Sifrei Musar, and now the Mishnah Berurah wants to add another element to the equation. We should be reciting Tehillim. Why? Because Tehillim already has a level of Tefillah, so that we're thanking Hashem for the Mazon by praising God. He recommends that after we recite Birchas HaMotzi Lechem in Aretz, we should recite Mizmar. This is what number is this? Chav Beis, Hashem Roi, Lo Echsar. What number is it? I forget. Anyway, let's go on Rabosai to number 3. The Aruch HaShulchan says that as a barest minimum, at least we could fulfill this dictum of Rabbi Shimon by reciting on Shabbos and Yontif Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem. Or during the weekday, we'll be Al Naros. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the weekday Al Naros Pavel. It's interesting. Somehow, I don't have that meeting except during the 3 weeks. I don't know. It sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan was advocating Al Naros Pavel the whole year round. But in any event, on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Shir HaMalos, B'Shuv Hashem, and Shiva Tzion, and he says that's only a fallback position. That's for someone who cannot learn Torah Mamish, but if he can learn Torah Mamish, Ma Tov, how much better that is. And here, Rav Avadia Yosef writes in one of his tshuvas that there's a chumrah that Rabbi Shiva was very harsh on someone who doesn't study Torah. And how could that be? It must be that he's talking about something very fundamental. So he's coming to defend the Bar Tanura, whose name had the same first name, but they live 500 years apart. But and that's what it means, that he didn't recite Birkas HaMazon. Because if he recited Birkas HaMazon, you cannot tell me that in the absence of Divrei Torah, it's Mizivchei Mason. But anyhow, if he wants to get to the level of Lifnei Shulchan or Lifnei Hashem, for that he needs Divrei Torah Mamish. So in other words, what basically Rav Avadia Yosef wants to do with the words of Rav Shimon in number 16 on the previous page, he wants to show you that there's a Reisha and a Seifa. The Reisha is talking about someone who completely omitted any Divrei Torah, even benching. That's a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. And the Seifa, when he speaks about Yesh Beinam Divrei Torah, Memorlov Divrei Torah, that's already a higher Madrega than benching. And then it's Shulchano Lifnei Hashem. The Yavitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, in number 25, says the following. Why does it say in Rav Shimon, Shlosha Shachlu? Why did you say Shnayim Shachlu? Okay, if two people are sitting and eating together, they get sidetracked, they have something to discuss, you know, there's a business meeting, maybe they're talking things that they shouldn't say, I don't know. But that's already a getter of shogig. There's no public element here. But three people get together, that already is a kibbutz gadol. That's already considered a large gathering of people, and at that point they have a responsibility to mention the name of Hashem and to think about his Torah. And if they don't do so, that's a tremendous loss. The Alshech, who lived about 5 centuries ago, wants to know, when should you fulfill this dictum of Rav Shimon? Should you start your meal with Divrei Torah, or should you end your meal with Divrei Torah? What would have been your knee-jerk response from both sides?
A little bit in the beginning, a little bit in the middle, a little bit in the end.
You want to make everybody happy. Okay, but let's say you had two possibilities, Kersh. It's either at the beginning of the meal or at the end of the meal. So we're going to see other opinions, but the Alshech...
I would say at the beginning, to set the tone.
So he says, we're not ready for Divrei Torah at the beginning of the meal. We're hungry. And he says, let's get in the mood. He says, you need what he calls a tov lev. You know, when when your heart is gladdened, then you're ready to upgrade the entire Seuda. Again, the Seuda hasn't ended yet, and you didn't bench yet. And he says, that's why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, Shlosha Shachlu Velo Amru, all of Divrei Torah. They haven't said on it, they didn't say on it in the past tense, referring to the Suda that they ate previously. Ki Lirmos, he says, Kili Acher Shachlu, that's the proper time for Divrei Torah. That's when a person is in the mood for Torah. And here we have a tremendous insight of the brother, the Maral Prague. He was called Rav Chaim, and he wrote a book on Avos, just like his brother Maral wrote a book on Avos. And he says the following, that if we look at the human face, we'll see seven parts to the human face. There are two eyes, there are two ears, there are two nostrils, and then there's the mouth. And he says the seventh is always considered the holiest. So why is the mouth number seven here? And he says the following. He says that the Yerushalmi tells us in the name of Rabbi Levi that if we would have been at Har Sinai, we would have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create for us two mouths. Why? One mouth is for Kedusha, for sanctity, and for Divrei Torah, and another mouth is for physicality, for eating. And he says the following, from Matan Torah V'Eilach, after that you're on the top of the left column if you're following me in the text, he says, that's true that, you know, maybe this comment is in place. From Sinai and onwards, Shehelo la'odim pem yuchel l'torah l'achila. He says, but in the original plan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everything to come from the same mouth, because the mouth has the potential of not only Divrei Torah, but also of elevating and sanctifying the achila that comes in and out of the same mouth. And if we speak Divrei Torah during our achila, then we elevate the mouth and all that we eat to the highest madrega of spirituality. And he says that to face the question, to address the question of the Alshich, when, Gershon, should we recite Divrei Torah? At the beginning of the meal or at the end of the meal? He says, you might think that it makes sense that we start with Tzarchei HaNefesh. What should take precedence? What's primary? Our spirituality comes before our physicality. And therefore, just like in Tefillah, we don't eat until we daven. So too, he says, you might think that we shouldn't eat until we learn Torah. And we should mekayim the din of Rav Shimon before we eat. He says, no. Aval kan al ha-shulchan ochel tchila l'sov ha-nafsho. He should first eat, and then, after he satiated, Osek B'Torah, and that's the remez here, is the Achalto V'Savata, and then Uberachto. Again, the Uberachto is referring to a spiritual religious experience. Because he says that once a person eats, what's the first thing you realize? I don't know, does anyone here relate to this experience? I have this all the time. Like, I'm about to eat something really, really good. You know, like, wow, a steak. You know what I mean? Or ice cream. Lahavdil. But you know what? As soon as I finish the steak, like, it's gone. You know, what was the big deal? Like, if right now I want to think about all the great steaks I had in my life. I'm a Berzon. The Berzons love meat. That's a trait, you know, in our bloodstream. Inherited trait. But you know, when I think about the meat that I ate, you know, it's like gone. Like, I don't even have the taste of the meat in my mouth. You know, it's not even an afikomen or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? So he says that when a person finishes filling up and satiating his tainug, his desire for pleasure, eating pleasure, he says, Chozer limos behem l'roash et tanugi aguf edem kayomim. He realized that it was here and it's gone. And then at that point, when he makes that realization, he's ready to transition to the next stage, umaska lasa b'divrei Torah, and then he realizes, wow, divrei Torah, ma'afti Torah, secha kol hayom sichasi, it means, sichasi means that I love Torah so much because I realize and I appreciate that Torah is something eternal, it's not something fleeting, And that's what Chazal meant in the Gemara in Brachos when they said Chayav Adam Litein Tchila Mazon LeBehemto. The Torah indicates that first he has to feed his animal. The animal here is a symbolic representation of the Bahamius of a person, right? The animal that was within us. So first, feed your animal. Okay, now you're ready to realize that there's more to life than just the food that you ate. Now you're ready for the nefesh, for the spirituality. So we have here both the Alshich and the brother of the Maharal Miprag agree that the Divrei Torah of Shimon should come at the end of the meal. And now we'll look at the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says the following. Torah is always compared in Tanakh by Chazal to lechem v'yayin umayim, to bread, wine, and water. And he says the following, that when a person comes to eat with his physical goof, he wants to sanctify his body. For example, God gives him a tongue, and he uses the tongue to help himself eat, but also uses the tongue to dedicate itself to speak Divrei Torah. And therefore the mazon, this sustenance, is going on the one hand into his physical body, but it also creates a spiritual sustenance because he uses the same mouth and the same tongue to speak Divrei Torah. And Adam Yikach Musa Liatzmo, he says a person should take this ethical message to his heart. And he should say to himself, how much did I enjoy, how much did I desire to eat that food when I was hungry? I ate it b'simcha, b'zrizus, b'cheshek, you know, I was really enthralled, I was really dying to eat, you know. And make a kal v'chomer, how much more so with regard to Esek HaTorah, if you could only learn from your physical desires and pleasures what it's like to appreciate the Esek HaTorah. And all of this is through the mouth. There's got to be one mouth. That's the divine plan. So a person should be sanctifying himself by studying Torah through his mouth with the same level of islavus and cheshek and simcha as he would dedicate himself to gashmius, to physicality and the material eating. Lipachotie kohenis kifundakis, he says, at least if you're a kohen, at least be like a fundak. A fundak is like a regular citizen. And therefore Chazal say Ein Kiddush El Bebakom Suda, which of course literally means that we recite Kiddush in the place where we eat our meal. But there's a deeper meaning on a symbolic level. Ein Kiddush means the only way that you can sanctify yourself through study of Torah is Bebakom Suda, is to use the same path, and you should elevate yourself in an ethical way to use that mouth that eats to the level of Divrei Torah. And going on page 4 with the Ben Ish Chai, he says a very interesting idea. The Chazal tell us that Mayim Achronim Chova, that when you finish the meal, you bring out Mayim Achron. He says that at the very least, if you haven't shared any Divrei Torah with your fellow compatriots eating at the table, at least say the words Mayim Achronim Chova. I was always wondering why my father-in-law always screams this out at every meal. I never knew. I figured, you know, he's just trying to point out it's time to bring out Mayim Achronim. But the Ben Ish Chai says no. There's a definite minog to recite those words, call out, declare Mayim Achronim Chova, because that's halacha. And if this halacha is expressed and formulated in words, that's a kiyum of Divrei Torah al Shulchan. Again, you can have various levels. You have the lowest level is Birkas HaMazon. That has some psukim in it, right? And then you go to the next level, which is Mayim Achronim Chov, and then finally you get to a higher level, which is real Divrei Torah on a serious level. So we saw before in the Aruch HaShulchan that if you say the Shir HaMalos before benching, alright, that's a knapper Divrei Torah, but at least it's something. The Gemara in Erchin speaks about the Isur of Lashon Hara, and the Gemara says in the name of Rami Bar Chanina, what is the takana? How do we fix up the iser of lashon hara? And the answer is based on a pasuk, marpe lashon etz chayim. It means lashon is a reference, is an allusion to lashon hara, and chayim here is a reference to the etz chayim hila machzikim ba, the Torah itself. The Torah is the greatest antidote and the machaper, the atoner for lashon hara. So just like at the time of the Mikdash we had the Mizbach HaKtores, which was a mechaper for lashon hara, now we have the Divrei Torah on the Shulchan so that the Shulchan can function in the same way and replace the original Mizbach of the Ktores. And there's an amazing Rashi
in Parshas Kedoshim, based on Targum Unkelus, Targum Unkelus translates the words Lo Seichel Rachil. What's Rachil is Kurtzin. Kurtzin. Does anybody know what Kurtzin is? Lekrotz?
Hinting.
Winking. Right, winking. And he says that you could do more damage in Lashon Hara by winking than you can even by speaking Lashon Hara. He says the Ba'alei Lashon Hara, when they want to secretly, you know, convey a message one to the other, that's really Lashon Hara, they do it by winking. And he says, Lo Selech Rachel Bamecha, don't be a winker. Lo Selchun Kurtzin. Because what it means is that you have to avoid this kind of Lashon Hara that nobody really knows what you mean except for the person to whom you're conveying the message. That's what we said before, that just like the Ketores is brought in private, Lifnai V'Lifnim, it's Mechaper for something that's also in private, the Holech Rachel, or the Kartzin, or the Kurtzin. Now we get back to the Megillah, and back to Purim. The Megillah says that the entire story of Vashti, who's going to be replaced by Esther, begins on what day of the week? Okay. The seventh day of the week. By Yom Hashvi B'Tov Levamelech Bayayin. Again, I don't have to know Chazal for this. Even before the Gemara Megillah, I read the Pasuk and I see that historically it was on the seventh day that all this happened, that Mordechai became drunk, if you will. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? And he wasn't drunk the whole week long? What, he was only drunk on the seventh day?
King.
I meant to say the king. I'm sorry. So that the Gemara now tells us that Yom HaShvi in this pasuk is an allusion to Shabbos and is going to give us an explanation by contrasting the Jewish people on Shabbos to the non-Jews, Lahavdil, on Shabbos. What do we do on Shabbos? What we do is we sit down for a meal, Ochlin V'Shosin, and we have Divrei Torah, and we sing Zmiros and Tishbachos. In contrast, the Goyim, the idol worshippers, they sit down and they eat, and all they're interested in talking about is Tiflus, which means frivolities and insignificant things at the best. And at that Suda of Oso Rasha, on the seventh day, which is on what day of the week, Rabbi Osai? On Shabbos, Halalu, what are the Rishayim interested in? They don't see it, oh, this is a special Holy Shabbos meal, and we have to elevate it with Divrei Torah and Zimiros Shespachos. They're going to talk about terrible things. So, for example, you know, one group says that the most beautiful women are coming from Midjan, and the other say that the most beautiful women are coming from Paras. And so Achashverosh says, you know what? My wife is the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's neither from Paras or from Mardai, but rather she's from Kazdian. And would you like to see what she looks like? So they said, yeah, but only if she comes out naked. Anyway, this is all, says the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, in his commentary on the Agadah to Megillah, this is all to give us an answer to the following question. If we had no right, if we, the Jewish people, our ancestors, were guilty of a terrible crime of being Nena Miosa Seuda, then why is it that from that Seuda comes the whole story of Vashti, which is the Siva, which is the cause of the Yeshua? Mm-hmm. It's very odd that, you know, B'makom Shebasa, you're coming from the Seuda, which was a terrible criminal act, according to Chazal, that brought about the whole decree, and in the aftermath of that very Seuda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about the Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Why is that so? And he says the answer is because that Seuda represents on high, in front of the Kisei HaKavod, the exact contrast between the Jewish people and the other nations of the world. That Seuda on Shabbos is the greatest Sanigoria Shel Klal Yisrael. And this is what the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, wants to derive a conclusion about how we today, on our Shulchanos, especially on Shabbos, how we can achieve Hatzolah Yeshua, God will save us and spare us and protect us. How? Because at our Shabbos table, we have Divrei Torah, we have Shiros V'Tishbachos, and that is the refuah for all the Makos. And he says, therefore, he says, I just want to get the right sentence. He says, "Kavanosam ki hayas zchus ha'suda Shabbos, that the zchus, the merit of the suda Shabbos, mitoch divrei Torah, shiros v'tishbachos, amdo lehem li Yisrael." That's what saved the people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu already at the very beginning of the story in which there was a makah, he already gave us the refuah for the makah, that suit of Achashverosh on has two opposite sides to it. You know, if you flip it in one way, you get Klal Yisrael enjoying that suit in the highest level of a suit of Shabbos. If on the other hand you turn it the other way, Nafochu, then what you end up with is the Seud of Arachashverosh, which leads to the whole story of Vashti. And therefore he says, Nelcha Bekfarim, he says we have to go out there and we have to follow suit and we have to imitate our ancestors. And therefore, every time we sit down to a Seudah, and how much more so on Shabbos, we should integrate Torah and elevate that Seudah to the highest level to bring about Kapara. And therefore we must recite Shiras V'Shishpachos Kedarkon Shel Yisrael. And the Rambam codifies this in Siman Tofresh Sadi Hey, and he says, Tov, he says it's a very good idea, Lasok Ma'at B'Torah Konim Sheh Yochal, he has a different pshat than what we saw earlier in the Al Shich. Namely, you should start the meal Gershon with what?
Divrei Torah.
With Divrei Torah, so you'll be very happy about that. And he says, "Usmach ledavra." I have a smach, a some sort of a basis for this in the pasuk. It says, "La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha." Right now, Sasavikar is going to refer to the Sud itself, but first we start with Ora, and then we get to the Simcha, the Suda. What's the Ora? Chazal say the Ora Zu Torah. So therefore, when the Torah says to us, V'yasisa Shulchan, which is back in Parshas Truma, Laman Islecha Parshas Shulchan, we spoke about Shulchan together with the Mizbeach, but also there's a contiguity between Shulchan and the Aron. And that's a remez to Rabbi Shimon's dictum in Avos, Shlosha Shachol Shulchan Echon, is if it's the Amrul of Divrei Torah, so the Aron always represents what? Torah. Then our Shulchan will be a Shulchan Shel Makom. Vayidaber Elai Zeh Shulchan Shel Lifnei Hashem. So Rabbi Bosai, we don't have time now for Rabbeinu Bachai, you'll have to do that on your own, but the bottom line of everything that we studied today is that the Shulchan has within it the capacity to be elevated to Zeh Shulchan Hashem Lifnei Hashem. That just like when we take a karbon, and this is now the Mizbeach Achitzah, we're able to be mechaper for the Avera of taking, you know, the flesh of an animal and using it for our purposes because we elevated, and that's why we have one mouth, which is meant to be both the physical eating, like the karbon that's eaten achilas mizbeach, and elevated to the status of a spiritual eating, like the abir, the lechem abirim of the malach ashares, and we use our mouth for divrei Torah, and that's always the power against the etzahara. And so too, our eating on our shulchan is a machaper like the mizbeach hazav, the pnimi, on the avera of lashon hara. And how do we do this? Because the greatest antidote to lashon hara is Divrei Torah, and Torah purifies us and atones for the sin of Lashon Hara. See, Ratzo, my prayer on behalf of all of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should be Zoche, just like the Jews were Zoche on the Shabbos table on Yom HaShvi at the time of Shushan, to elevate the table, to elevate the Achil, to make it Zeh Shulchan Hashem Lifnei Hashem, and we'll be Zoche to Yeshuos and to Kapara for all our sins. Keni Ratzon. Amen.
Amen. Let me raise a very common dialogue.
If I could just ask somebody to open the door here. Go ahead.
Common dialogue. You say to somebody on a weekday meal, come, let's bench. Oh, I didn't wash. So Brigham's a Muslim often disappears on weekdays because people, they eat a meal, 12 courses, I didn't wash. There's no lechem. So all of a sudden, it's gone. But what would you say to them?
Yeah, and not only that, not only does he forfeit the opportunity of Birkas HaMazon on top, if according to that sheet of Ravanya Bar Tnura, he may have forfeited the opportunity of fulfilling Rav Shimon's dictum.
Right. He doesn't have part of four shuls.
And then we don't want to describe that shulchan the way Rav Shimon describes. Okay, Shkai Rav Osai, thank you so much.